We're turning tonight to Hebrews chapter 9 as we read the scriptures of truth. The meeting has been longer than usual, and I will not be preaching at length tonight, but God has given us a message, I believe a very timely message in the light of recent events, and we're going to read some verses from the end part of the chapter. Before we do so, we'll ask the help of God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the meeting, for a sense of the presence of God with us, for those who have taken part. We thank Thee for the young people of our church, for those who have a zeal for the Lord and for His work, those who have been saved by grace and are going on with the Lord and bearing a good testimony, a bright light where they live. Help us all to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. As we turn aside now to the Word of God and read the Bible and meditate a little time therein, we pray that Thou will grant us the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us into truth, to bring conviction deeply to our hearts. We pray for any who know not the Lord that they will be spoken to. We thank Thee that God uses His Word. We thank Thee that we're not trusting to ourselves, but we're looking to the mightiness of God's Word. We thank Thee that it is a quick and a powerful Word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank Thee that the Holy Spirit takes the Scriptures and uses God's Word to convict men of their sin and bring them to an understanding of the Gospel. We pray that men and women and young people will turn to Christ. We thank Thee that He died upon the cross of Calvary and paid the price of our sin. We bless Thee tonight afresh for that atonement that was made and the sacrificial offering that was given there at the cross. We thank Thee that He bore our sin in His own body there. Lord, help us to take in the wonderful message of the Gospel that Jesus died that we might live. We ask it in His name. Amen. Verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 9. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. May God bless his word to all of our hearts. I want to preach tonight on the subject, an appointment all will keep. And my text, as you probably have discovered, is verse 27. It speaks about two appointments. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Death and the judgment. And we're going to look at the first. This appointment that every man and woman and young person in this meeting is going to keep one day. We all have our appointments. And we all keep our diaries. And we have our dates and our times and our plans. Nearly every day, I have marked into my diary the various engagements that I hope to keep in the future. Well, like even today, if you just get the church announcement sheet, you will see how busy we have been as a congregation, and the meetings, many of them have been fulfilled, and we are fulfilling tonight's meeting here in the gospel as we have our family night. I have a line drawn in my diary through the next 2 weeks, because it is our intention, by the grace and will of God, that we preach at the Agave Mission for the next couple of weeks every night. This coming Tuesday, some of our ministers will be meeting here for prayer in the morning. Of recent times, we have been gathering together with some of our local Free Presbyterian ministers just to pray for this area and to seek God on behalf of his work in this part. And I think we're all the same. We have our appointments. Appointments with the doctors, with the dentist, with the various meetings that we intend to be at. We have our visits, our interviews, weddings that we have planned this year, examinations for the young people, I'm sure they're looking forward to it, holidays perhaps for the summertime, and so on. There is, however, a date, a time, and a plan that is unknown, and that is death. And we can say with the patriarch Isaac, as he was getting older and thinking about his years and the inevitability of death, we can say the very same words that he spoke in his day. I know not the day of my death. All the other appointments are there in our diaries, in our calendars, but we can't fix the time of our death, the day of our death. I know not the day of my death. The hand of death has visited our community once again, in a very sudden and alarming fashion, just this past week. It has touched our families and our town and our district in a way that sounds the trumpet blast of warning. It sends out a message loud and clear, in a time when ye think not. You know, we ought to sit up. We ought to be awakened. We ought to take stock of our lives. I was telling our prayer meeting folk this week how that we feel to be appropriately shaken and moved by such events of sickness and death that comes our way. Annie Campbell was led to rest on Wednesday after the battle that she had, 75 years old. Audrey's brother was buried on Friday, suddenly and unexpectedly taken out into eternity. That same weekend, just there at the beginning of the week, there were three people in the intensive care unit at the Causeway Hospital, and they all died the same way, suddenly, unexpectedly. They took a brain hemorrhage. A 30-year-old woman, leaving six children behind. A 43-year-old woman. And Audrey's brother, 51. Matthew Howell, the 22-year-old young man from Ballymoney, fell down a stairwell in Russia in an awful accident that claimed his life. The 15-year-old boy that was drowned in the dinghy, tragedy at sea. The man in Coleraine on the new bridge that was killed when a van hit him. A 41-year-old mother of two children drowned in Garva. All these things in this past few days. Seats are emptying. And graves are filling. And you know, my friends, hell is awaiting those who die in their sin. And heaven is opening to those who know the Lord. And I feel compelled to speak on this message tonight for a little time. A subject that we don't like to think about. There's not one of us like to think about the inevitability, the day that we're going to leave this earth, the day of our death. But sometimes there is a spate of deaths which occur around us. And God is speaking. There's no doubt that God speaks through such things. And we must hear what God is saying. And what would he say to us? Well, for one thing, in the words of Scripture, he would say, time is short. Time is short. You've got to understand that. He would also say, prepare to meet thy God. And he would say to our hearts, we know not what a day will bring forth. An appointment that all of us must keep. I want to say, first of all, that it is a sure appointment. There's not many things that we're sure about in this life. We have our diaries filled with our appointments, where we intend to be, what we intend to do, the people that we intend to be with. But we are not certain that we're going to fulfill those appointments. So many things can intrude upon our lives that will change the course of direction that we take. Our plans can be interrupted. Because all our plans must be with the biblical proviso, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. Circumstances might change. We might forget to attend an appointment. Sickness might come that will make it impossible for us to be at such a place that we've intended to be. Other pressing matters might come into our lives, even tragedy that might call us away from those things that we have planned. And there are times that our plans change. It's so with us all. But there is an appointment that we can be certain about. Could I say dead on certain about? And that is the appointment of death. I must die. You must die. And I would ask you, my friend, to come out of your hiding place tonight. If you're hiding from the fact that you're going to leave this earth someday, you're going to die, come out of your hiding place and face reality. It is sure. Young person, with all your life potentially ahead of you, waking up to the reality of death. Middle-aged person, you're halfway through, maybe more. I trust that God will put his hand upon you and bring you to a realization that one day you must die. Older person in this meeting, most of your days are spent. And the truth of the matter is, you're in your declining years. Oh, that you would face the certainty of death. The wise woman from Tekoa, who spoke to King Solomon so many centuries ago, spoke these words so well when she said, for we must needs die, and are as water spilt in the ground, which cannot be gathered up again, neither doth God respect any person. And Job spoke similar words when he said, for I know that thou wilt bring me to death. And this is the only thing that we know in this life. You do not know if you'll go home tonight. You do not know if you're going to waken in the morning and face whatever plans you've made for tomorrow. You don't know whether you're going to go to work or to school, or maybe it's a bank holiday for you tomorrow and you're off on a holiday. You don't know that you're going to fulfill those plans that you've made for tomorrow. You don't know that you're going to get to another meeting. Here you are in God's house tonight. You're under the influence of the gospel and the word of God as it is preached. But you do not know if you will get to another meeting. You're not even guaranteed your next breath. It's appointed unto man wants to die. And I tell you, it's sure. A sure appointment. But secondly, it is a settled appointment. There is a fixed moment, a precise time, a preordained day for your death and mine, unknown to us but known to God. God has marked it down in his great, sovereign, and unalterable calendar, that particular second when it shall be said of us, absent from the body. Because believe me, there's coming a moment when you're going to be absent from the body. These bodies of ours, why, they're just a shell, just the tabernacle of the tent, just a house, if you like, that houses the real man. For the real man is the soul, the precious, immortal soul. One day that soul is going to be given up. In the book of Job, where Job speaks so often about life in its brevity and death in its certainty, Job said in Job 14 and verse 10, that man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, or the soul, that spiritual part. And where is he?
There's coming that moment when the soul is going to be yielded by our bodies, and then it shall be said, absent from the body. You're not there any longer. That moment is settled. The day of my departure is already written down into God's purpose and plan. How, where, when, in what circumstances. Listen, it's all settled. Some die in infancy. The little babes that are stolen away from our families. And how a mother's heart's broken when their little infant child is taken. Some die in childhood. They get a few years on the earth. But in the purpose of God, that's the day of their appointment. Something that has been settled already by Almighty God. There are those who die in their middle years. Others who live to their senior years. And we know this only too well. Even in the examples that we have given to you that have happened over the past few days, death is no respecter of persons, no respecter of ages, and the day is settled. There is a boundary line there for all of us, and we're not going to pass that boundary line. That moment, that settled time in God's plan, we're not going to get beyond it. In that same chapter of Job, chapter 14, he speaks about it, and this is what he says. He begins the chapter, begins the subject. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He says, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And listen to what he says in verse 5. Seeing his days are determined. Your days are determined. Already counted. The number of his months are with thee. And then he says, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Speaking to God. Oh God, you've appointed his bounds. There's that boundary line. He can't pass it. It's a settled time. It's a fixed time. This appointment. It's sure. It's settled. It's also a solemn appointment. Why is it solemn? Because death means eternity. It means eternity. Death is not to be laughed at. It's not to be treated lightly or frivolously or dismissed without serious thought. For death means eternity. 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 Where will you be in eternity? Death seals our destination, and that's a solemn thing. And it's either for heaven or for hell. There's no in between. It's either to be with Christ forevermore or to be without Christ forevermore. Death is either a delight or a disaster. A delight because it's well with your soul and you're going to meet the Lord Jesus and you're going to heaven, or a disaster because all is not well with your soul and you will die on your sin and you will be lost for all of God's eternity. I'm heading out into eternity. The great expanse of eternity, into the timeless region of the unending ages of the foreverness, and that ought to concern me. It ought to make me think. It ought to cause me to sit up and understand where do I stand with God, because there's only two destinations that we've mentioned, heaven or hell. And then sometimes this appointment is a sudden appointment. These past few days have proved this to be so for our community. Since we met last Sabbath, great changes have taken place in many households. Loved ones that were there last Lord's Day are no longer there. They're in eternity. Families could not have anticipated the sorrow that was going to overtake them in the matter of a few minutes. For it meant their loved one was taken in death. And my friend, if you're not ready for eternity, and death might come your way suddenly, you need to prepare to meet your God. You need to make sure that you have a right, saving, vital relationship with Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross of Calvary that we might be saved. I pray tonight that you will heed God's word. It's appointed unto man once to die. An appointment that is sure. An appointment that is settled. An appointment that is solemn because it means eternity. And an appointment that sometimes comes suddenly, unexpectedly, without warning. Moses, in the 90th Psalm, he wrote that Psalm. He prayed this prayer. Lord, teach us to number, teach me to number my days, that I might apply my heart unto wisdom. That's a good prayer for you to pray. If you're a Christian in this meeting, I want you to pray that prayer. Lord, teach me to number my days. I don't know how long I have, but I want to make those days count for the Lord. Kyle gave his testimony tonight, 18 years spent in the world. May God be pleased to give him at least another 18 years to spend them for the Lord. And if you're not a Christian in this meeting, and you're not saved and not right with God, and you've never been to the cross, and you've never washed in the blood of Christ by faith, and your sins have never been taken away, you need to pray that prayer. Lord, teach me to number my days, for days it is. And apply your heart to wisdom. What is the wise thing? The wise thing is to be right with God. To be ready for eternity. To be saved. Are you saved tonight? Do you know Christ? Can you say, it is well with my soul? If not, come to Christ tonight. Thank God Jesus is passing this way. He's in this meeting, and he's still mighty to save, and he can save you right now. Let us bow together in prayer.